Succession number 27746, Reel 4.
George Stanley, Reel 4. George, you were telling me about the Turpin.
Yeah, as I say, it was in April 44, and the Turpin was lying in up one of the fjords in off Norway, and she never went to sea. She was more or less put out of action.
You know, she never went to sea.
She never went to sea. She was damaged in lying in harbour. You know.
Oh right.
You know, well, I say in harbour, in one of the fjords out there. You know, but what happened? There was an operation attacking the Tirpitz by aircraft, and we were just more or less a covering force. Part of a covering force. Mm. I'd say this was in April. Never saw any action. Never saw any. Mm. There was no guns fired or nothing like that, not as far as the ships were concerned. Mm. I don't know how many ships were there. I know the Belfast was one of them. And that was the last sort of action or the last episode I spent on the Belfast. Because right. I left her in May, just before D-Day in 44.
Right.
And I went back, as I say, I went back to Portsmouth Barracks. And turn over, completely changed, right. from a seaman to a joiner.
A complete change.
Complete change.
And had you wanted that change?
I was quite happy on the I was happy on the Belfast.
Did you wanted to go gone on to D-Day?
I would have been happy to have stayed aboard there.
Yes.
More than happy.
Yes.
But there was a chance came along, and I couldn't refuse it. Well. Couldn't refuse it anyway. I mean,
you were given an offer.
If I'd have been given an offer, I would have stayed, because while I was on the Belfast, it was known that I was a joiner, and I became part of the shipwrights crew. Shipwrights party
on the Belfast.
On the Belfast.
That
was one of my jobs. One of my daytime jobs. You know.
I see. So you were. So you started off as in the turrets.
That's
the
right.
Gun layer, and then at some point you became a joiner.
A joiner.
Were you doing both together, or?
Yeah. Well, I was always no. I was a seaman, but this was just a part of my daily routine in the shipwrights party. I was always a gun layer and always a seaman.
Right.
I never changed while I was on the Belfast.
What sort of things were you doing as a shipwright?
As a joiner.
Mm.
Well, I was in the joiner shop. I was making toys, actually.
Were you?
I was very good at making cricket bats, you know.
Is that what you were being asked to do?
That's exactly, because they used to take them home on leave. You know, different people used to take them home for the kids. Because you couldn't buy that stuff,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I was making toys. That was great. I was enjoying myself, you know.
So you did that part of the day?
That's part of the day, you know. Not every day, but... Yeah. You know, when the chief shipwright, who was in that photo I showed you, when he realised that I was a joiner by trade, he wanted me to be with, you know.
Do you remember his name?
If what?
Can you remember the name of the chief shipwright?
Well, then? His name's on that photo. I can't, yeah. You know. But what I would like to have stayed aboard the Belfast as a joiner.
Yes.
But what happened, they wanted people for these combined operations.
Oh,
at that time, combined operations.
Yes.
And that's what I did. I went into combined operations, mm-hmm. as a joiner.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I went out to India. I was on Admiralty Floating Dock in Cochin,
mm-hmm.
doing underwater repairs for landing craft. That was one of my jobs.
When you were on the HMS Belfast and you were working in the shipwrights
party,
whereabouts was the Belfast going? Was it doing its Russia trip?
Well, oh yeah, it was just a routine. Yeah. What I've explained to you what's happened, that was all part of it. This routine of daily routine. As I say, I was the motorboat's crew. I was, you know, it's all part of the day, you know.
So you had a very varied day.
Absolutely.
So you were never bored.
Oh, never.
No.
Never.
Well, that was good.
Never bored.
Right, now that wasn't clear to me at the beginning, you see.
Yeah.
So when you Did they give you some extra pay straight away?
No, you were on at the same pay. Oh, no, not until I went and turned over to a... went back to barracks and turned over to a joiner.
Right.
Fourth class.
Just to finish off with the HMS Belfast, can you remember anything about the sort of traditions and customs on the ship?
Well, as I explained to you, different, you know, Akers and Tom Bowler and...
That's the games that you were playing.
Yeah.
Can you remember things about, like, you know, any rations that you were given? Were you given the rum ration?
Oh, yeah. No, I wasn't. I wasn't old enough.
Oh, weren't you?
No. Don't get ration. I was a... It's TG and UI. That's temperance, grog and underage.
Temperance, grog and underage.
I was underage. Because
right.
I wasn't 20. Temperance was you didn't draw your top, but you got thrums a day extra.
Oh, did you? Thrums a day?
I didn't, because I was underage. But if you was temperance, you got thrums a day extra.
And what did you call it?
Temperance.
No, but you didn't draw your...
Tot.
Oh, your tot.
Tot of rum.
Right, yeah. Then, tot of rum, yeah.
Then you was grog, you draw your tot. Well, grog was 2 and 1. That's 2 of water and 1 of rum, right? Then I was UA, underage, so I didn't draw it.
Right.
I didn't draw my tot until I was 20. I was in Cochin then.
Right.
Right, that was a couple of years later.
But so when would they give it to?
About 11 o'clock.
At night?
No, in the morning.
In the morning?
Yeah.
Oh, right, did they?
Yeah, around about 11 o'clock.
Right. And did people drink it straight away?
Absolutely. Right. Some used to say, and you used to get sippers, what they call sippers.
Did you?
You know, if you did somebody a good turn, I had plenty of sippers as under 18. If you did somebody a good turn, as I explained to you, making these toys, I'll get a sipper for that. That's a sip of rum, you know.
Did you look forward to that?
Oh, yeah.
Did it help keep you warm when you were in the
waters? But talking about cold now, terrible, the cold, particularly in Russia, but I never really felt the cold, being so young, I suppose. I mean, this couple of weeks ago, I really felt the cold. But not, you know, no worse than what I ever felt out there.
Well, when you were well kitted out, and you said you didn't go up on deck a lot.
No. Not at sea. Mm. Oh, no. Very seldom.
Were other people feeling the cold?
Well, I should imagine. Well, obviously, yeah. I mean, there's no two ways about that.
Mm.
It really was. I mean, you can see that photo of the ice, you know.
Mm.
And at one stage, you're going through sort of ice on, you know, on the sort of, I won't say icebergs, but plenty of ice on the water, you know.
Mm.
Very cold.
Mm. And then they sent you back on leave, and then you went to Portsmouth as a joiner.
Yeah, yeah.
And what was the Belfast doing at the time when you came back on leave?
Well, I left her from Scapa.
Right. Was that after the Shelford?
Yeah, yeah.
No, it was 5 months after.
Right? Yeah, and just after, of course, it was D-Day, wasn't it? Just a couple of weeks afterwards.
Yeah.
I was in Portsmouth Barracks then. I was just going through the routine, like, you know.
Right.
Then what happened then, I did two courses.
Yes.
I was sent to Slough Trading Estate. I did a boat construction course, which Oxy Settling Welding and boat construction. Then we went up to Leeds to do an electric welding course about there 6 weeks.
Oh.
And that's where I fell foul of the Navy.
Why?
Well, what happened, bearing in mind I was a joiner, leading hand, you know, and there was a crowd of us, all tradesmen, different trades. And we went on the electric welding course, and one night, because Leeds was a terrible place, it was a right reputation during the war.
Oh, did it?
At least city centre, you know.
That's what?
Oh, dear. You know, what the carrying's on there. Anyway, what happened one night, because we did shift work up there as well. And that sounds strange in the Navy, but we're doing shift work. And that particular time, we was on night shift. And a crowd of us went out drinking during the day, and we didn't turn up for the night. We didn't go on. And there was a lieutenant, old boy was, in charge up there. And we got called over to Coles. Anyway, what happened, we got 7 days leave stopped, and we were sent up to just outside Hull on a farm. This was September.
Instead of leave?
Yeah, yeah, we were sent onto a farm. We were doing hay making. Hay making. 7 days we spent up there.
So what did you think of that?
Oh, but great.
Was it?
Yeah, oh yeah.
What would you have done if you hadn't been sent on haymaking?
I don't know.
Would you have gone back to London?
Oh, no. We'd have kept up there and finished the course. Then we come back from there, went to Rye. Went into school. But by the way, when we...
So you were at three colleges altogether. You did your oxyacetylene... Where was that?
Slough.
At Slough
Training Estate. It was in Civil Billets there. Civil Billets, yeah, good.
Right.
And near Windsor, just outside Windsor, near the castle.
Oh, were you?
And where we was in lodgings, there was a woman, I suppose she was about 40, right? And she's married to a very old man. And she was carrying on with one of the guardsmen from the Windsor Castle. Yeah, it was quite an old scandal it was, too.
So where was this woman?
We was billeted.
You were billeted with her?
In Windsor.
Right.
And a very old man, he was old. He must have been twice her age, I should imagine. She was about 35, 40, and she was carrying on with one of the guardsmen from the castle.
So that caused a scandal.
Oh, yeah.
And on that course, you were learning...
Oxyacetylene welding, boat construction.
Yeah. What sort of things did that involve, boat construction?
Well, boat construction. Our boats were built, and
were you doing it?
Because bearing in mind
drawings and from diagrams, or
because I mean, as a joiner, I didn't do that. As an apprentice joiner, I didn't do boat building, but we did that mainly oxyacetylene welding. Learned to do that, and then as I say, we went up to Leeds in civil billets again up there for 6 weeks, and we did this electric welding. Did a course. It was all part of this. Boat construction, boat repairs, which I went on to later on.
And what's the difference between oxyacetylene welding?
Well, oxyacetylene is gas welding, oxyacetylene gas, and electric welding is, as it says, electric welding.
Right.
Simple as that, you know.
So it was newer. Was it a newer form, the electric welding?
Well, no, it's done now. I mean, it's, you know, it was just a course on electric welding, which would be used later on, which we did. On these underwater repairs in an Admiralty floating dock in Cochin, just off the southwest coast of India. Yeah, yeah.
And then you went to Rye.
Rye in the school, yeah.
After
we finished these two courses, we went to Rye, waiting for a draft.
Right.
I joined MBMU Mobile Base Maintenance Unit. There was all tradesmen, all petty officers, chief petty officers, leading hands, and we was all billeted in this school. And we was waiting for a draft. Eventually it came along December 1944, and we went out to Bombay in January 45.
Right. Can you tell me how you got to Bombay?
On the Orion troop ship.
Did that go right round the Cape?
No. Through the Med.
Through the Med.
Right. Red Sea, Suez Canal, across the Arabian Sea to Bombay.
To Bombay.
Bombay, yeah. Then from there we went just outside Bombay to a naval camp, just outside Bombay.
You didn't stay in Bombay?
No. Just go and leave there. Great place. Ormby Road, Bombay, is a Regent Street of Bombay, you know. I bought myself a watch, 62 rupees I paid for it. Beautiful watch, 62 rupees.
You still got it?
No, I flogged it just after I came home. yeah, it was marvellous. And so I was there, come down, went from there, from just outside Bombay.
How long were you outside Bombay for?
About a month.
Right. And were you doing anything particular then?
No, just waiting to move. We came down to Cochin, which is on the southwest coast of India.
Had you disembarked from the Orion by this time, when you were in Cochin?
Disembarked, yeah.
Yes.
From the Orion?
Yeah, so you were billeted in Cochin.
No, we went just outside Bombay first of all, in a camp, naval camp. Then we went down to Cochin, HMS Chinkara. And we stopped there nearly 2 years. till after the war finished. Well, 18 months till after the war finished.
Right, so tell me how your about your experiences there. I mean, it must have been quite different from being in the icy waters of Russia.
Oh, absolutely. Well, shorts, or a khaki, by the way, we wore. Not naval, wore khaki during the working day, khaki shorts. Mm. And while we was there, we had two leaves to Uta Command up in the Nilgiri Mountains. Marvellous place. Shangri-La. Absolutely. And if one place I'd like to go back and take Vera to would be Uta Command. If ever I come into real money, that's the one place I'd like to go. Yes. We had two leaves up there.
Yes.
Two good leaves.
Yes.
But while I was in Cochin, I was on this Admiralty floating dock, which laid in Cochin Harbour. And we did all underwater repairs where the oxy acetylene welding and the electric welding came in. That's what.
But how did you do them underwater? You were saying you did the underwater repairs.
Well, they came up onto the floating dock.
Right, I see. Yes.
Come onto the floating dock.
Right. Yeah.
We had a. What was his name? He had a warrant shipwright. Officer shipwright was in charge of that.
Mm.
But I didn't sleep on the floating dock. We was in the Chinkara base, naval base in Uts, living in Uts.
And how many men were living in the base?
Oh, hundreds.
Mm.
Oh, it's a big base. HMS Chinkara, terrific base.
Mm-hmm.
Hundreds.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. And we used to go ashore in Inakinum, which was just over the other side. The River Orway was the river. And after the war, because after the war we had a great time. On Sundays we used to go up into the Ilgiri Orway River, up and into the jungle, and it was great. You know, once I left the Belfast, I had the time of my life.
Did you? Yes.
No two ways about that.
Yes.
I had a great time.
And but you stayed on after the end of the war.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Was that because you weren't released from?
That's right. I was just waiting for release. I was number 52.
Number 52?
52, yeah. That was my release number.
Was it?
Yeah, and as I say, I'd wait. Because actually, some of the people I was with, my friends and that, Roy Wood, Ginger Randall, I know them, they come from, but they joined much later than me. They were a little bit older than me, actually, but they joined up, but they came straight in as joiners. So my release number was lower than theirs, so consequently, I came home, whereas they carried on further east after the war. They finished up in Japan, most of them. But I came home.
Mm.
I came home and I arrived home just after my 21st birthday. I think about 17th, 20th of July. I came home on the Llansteffan Castle. I took what they call ship's company. I was ship's company. I was part of the ship. But what we did, we used to take on fresh water. We came to from Bombay to Aden, through the Red Sea. We stopped at begins with M, in the Mediterranean.
The island.
Malta. Stopped at Malta. Come through to Gibraltar. I went ashore at Gibraltar and bought me a suit. I got married in there. Bought myself a naval suit. I got married in that, didn't
yeah.
I? That was in Gibraltar. Then we come to Southampton.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we come up.
Mm-hmm. And so what time did... which month did you actually arrive back?
July.
1946.
Mm-hmm. You know, we got married on the August the 3rd. We got a special licence, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
August the 3rd.
So when had you met Vera?
October 1944.
In the pub.
I was home on leave.
From the Belfast?
No.
You'd finished the Belfast.
Yeah, I was on leave from the school in Rye.
Oh, right, you never told me this bit, right.
Yeah.
And you met Vera in the pub. Can you remember the name of the pub?
Yep.
Brewery Tap
in Barking. What happened? My oldest sister lived at Forest Gate. And I was home on leave. All my friends were away. I'd known her, so I went to visit my sister in Forest Gate, and she wasn't in. So, blimey, what am I going to do? So I got a bus back from Forest Gate to Barking, It's still quite early. I said, I'll go and have a drink on my own. So I went in the brewery tap. In the brewery tap, there's two landowner girls, Vera and her friend. Vera was a blonde. A friend was brunette, and I fancied a brunette.
But she had to get off the bus before.
But what happened? We came home, both living at Dagenham, and her friend got off the bus early, and I stayed on the bus with Vera, and that's where it went from there. Sheer coincidence.
So you conducted your romance through letter, did you?
Yeah.
You wrote to each other
afterwards. Oh, yeah.
After, yeah.
I think you kept the last letter I wrote, didn't you?
Yeah, I've got all of them.
No, I've got some of them. Can't keep them all.
Have you kept all Vera's?
No.
Oh, it's a shame, isn't
it? Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. But it was a coincidence. Right. Sheer coincidence.
So when you'd met, how long did you have together before you were sent off to India?
A couple of months. We met in the October and I went to India in the January. So, what, 3 months?
So that was January
45. We got married on the
45.
45, yeah.
On the end there. That one. Yeah. That's when we got married on the
Belfast. That was our 50s. That was on the Belfast. That was in the Admiral's cabin.
That's great.
Yeah. That's
right. Admiral's cabin.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And so, was it difficult for you to go off then?
Oh yeah.
So you didn't want to.
I didn't like that one little bit.
No, you would have been happy to go if you hadn't met her.
Oh yeah, yeah. But getting back a little bit, when I used to go back off leave when I was on the Belfast, I used to leave my family. I always used to cry. I did. I couldn't help it.
Yes. Were you only young?
I couldn't help it.
No.
Because all my family were. They always used to sit around. I used to go and shake hands and kiss them all before I went. When I think about it, you know.
Yes. You didn't know that you would see them again.
Well, that's right, you know.
No, it must have been very difficult.
You know, when it's when you think about it. God.
And what was your mum's reaction when she got you back from the Belfast, all right, and then you were going to be sent off again around the world?
Well, it was going on to the Japan War then, you know.
So what was her reaction?
Well, you know, I don't know, but I can imagine what she must have felt, you know.
Mm. Were any of the rest of your family involved in... Were they sent abroad, any of the rest of your brothers or sisters?
Yeah, four brother-in-laws are always in the services. One was a Marine, one was in the Navy. They're all dead now. One was in the Navy, one was in the Army. Well, two were in the Army.
And they married your older sisters?
Married my four sisters, yeah. One of my sisters died very young. There was five girls and three boys.
Right.
Just myself and my brother alive now.
And your other two brothers were too young to be in the war?
My brother? Well, one brother died in childbirth, the one before me.
Right.
There was five girls, right, and there was one died in childbirth in 1923, and I came along in 1925. I was the seventh child, so I always considered myself to be lucky. Then was my brother, he was born in 1930.
Right. And he wasn't in the war?
No. He was a national service. He was in the Navy, did national service in the Navy.
Right.
Yeah.
Which ships were you dealing with in Bombay? Can you remember the names of the ships that you were mending?
Well, yeah, landing craft. Tank landing craft. TLCs.
What's a TLCs?
Tank landing craft.
Tank landing craft, right.
So just TLCs.
Yes.
They was.
And where were they be sent to after you'd fitted them?
Well, they were sent east to, you know, in the Japanese war. Of course, the war ended. Just after 6 months after I was in Cochin, the war ended.
Mm-hmm.
But right up to that time, we was taken. Even after the war, we were still taking them on there. Mm-hmm. They was being repainted below the waterline and any repairs necessary. All done by the Indians, by the way. We had about 30 Indians, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm.
Another little incident when I was aboard there. Of course, we'd get paid. I was good money. I was 70. Anyway, I had 750 rupees in my pocket. And I was staying me just a jacket up. And by one day, I went through my money and I was 10 rupees short. What had happened... Somebody had got in there and folded one of the rupees in half. Can you understand, one of the 10 rupee? So it made it look as though it was one extra, but I noticed it. And it was one of the Indian, what's his name? Anyway, the number one Indian, he found out who it was, got the 10 rupee chip back, and threw him in the what river? Threw the kid in the river. He never came. Well, I don't know whether he drowned or not, I don't know, but he never came back. Yeah. Yeah, they took it. What a temptation. It was on 10 annas a day.
Yes.
About less than a shilling a day.
Yes.
So you can imagine a 10 rupee, you know, note, how much, you know, they're worth about 15 shillings.
Yeah. That was were they good workers?
Oh, absolutely. Mm. They did all the scraping the ship, did the painting. What we did, or what I did, was put a line, put the datum line around the ship for them to paint to, and any underwater repair, any welding or whatever happened to be done, like, you know.
Well, you were doing the welding.
Oh, yeah.
And they were doing the
painting. The scraping the ship and doing the painting, yeah.
And how did you communicate with them?
Well, most of them could speak, you know, had a good, you know, they had a good muttering of English, you know. Particularly number one. He was very good, you know.
Mm. And did you pick up any of the language there?
Well, yeah, choked a bibby and little bits and pieces, like, you know.
Yes.
Still use it sometimes.
Do you?
Same as a lot of naval talk. I still, you know.
Yes.
But yeah, interesting.
Very interesting. And you'd like to go back to India? You've got good memories of it.
Coach, Uta Command. I'd love to go back there, yeah. Ooty. Yeah. That was before the war, it was English, you know, the English people lived there, like, you know, a lot of English
before
people there.
Independence.
Yeah. A lot of English people there.
Oh, there were all there.
Oh, yeah.
There,
yeah,
was.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
What sort of things were they mainly involved in? Some sort of trading, presumably.
Well, not, they were just living there. You know, they were living a life of luxury.
Well, they weren't working.
No.
Oh, no.
Well, mostly retired people.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Is that because the climate was good?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it was, you know, a wonderful climate. It wasn't too hot, because down in the plains, sweltering.
Mm.
And it was a sort of a humid, you know. You couldn't.
So you weren't bothered by malaria or anything?
Well, I wasn't, no.
Did you have malaria pills?
Oh, yeah, Mepocrine.
You were all taking...
Yeah, Mepocrine.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Were there other things that you had to be careful of, like the water?
Oh, yeah, all water was always boiled.
Was it?
Mm. Yeah.
Was that hepatitis?
And actually, while I was in Bombay, what happened, I got a blister in the palm of my hand.
Mm.
There's a little scar there now. I've got a blister. Because we was in Sassoon Dock work. When we first went, it was in Sassoon Dock work in the dock. And I got a blister on my hand, and it turned septic, and I nearly lost my arm.
Oh.
I went into RN Naval Hospital of Bombay, and I had this operation. And my arm, cool, come up like... Actually, I got an hurts and wounds certificate for it. You know what a hurts and wounds certificate is?
Yes.
Well, it's what was issued for people who got wounded, or what it's called, hurts and wounds certificate. And I've got one of those. And what happened after the war... I tried to claim for a pension, right? But I went for a medical, and they wouldn't stand for it.
Oh, right.
But what actually happened afterwards, though, because I've always had the Navy news. I've had it for years.
Mm.
And about 10 years ago, there's an article in there about people wounded or had trouble hearing during the war, you know. Anyway, I made an application. I went for a medical in Praed Street Hospital in London, and I got a pension. This was 19, and I'll get a little pension now. I'm deaf in this ear,
mm-hmm.
and I've got to get this £25 a week. I've had that since. The thing about it, I should have applied for it 50 years ago, you know, when I first came out, but I didn't bother, you know. It's only through
So you had this trouble with your ear?
Ever since the war, oh, yeah.
And how did that happen?
Well, the guns, must
it
have been.
They're
big guns.
You didn't actually notice one particular incident?
No.
It just came...
The boom of the gun, you know.
Yes. Yes.
And as I say, I'm just there. The gun's there.
Yes.
You know.
Mm.
Anyway, as
it must be. Well, if it was there, and it that's the ear that's affected, isn't it?
This year.
Oh, not the other one.
It's gradually going this one, but this one's.
So that your right ear was next to the.
That's right. That's right.
And that's the affected ear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And are you left-handed? Because because your wound from India was in your left arm.
That's,
so that was lucky. You weren't.
Yeah, that's right.
You weren't left-handed.
That's right.
Maybe that's why they didn't give you
that's right. For that. They didn't. This was just after the war, 1946.
Has the deafness got, is it tinnitus or deafness or?
It's just getting, it's gradually getting worse. You know, I mean, I can hear people talk, but I can't understand what they're saying. I can't distinct.
Yeah.
I'm quite happy with the situation. You know, I consider myself very lucky. You know. No two ways about that.
Yeah. I think we could just do a little bit about when you were discharged and how you got home and your reception at home.
I came home on the Llansteffen Castle, which was a mail boat, South African mail boat.
It's just going to end. Shall we just pause?